Because there typically is so much confusion around this feast day, the Immaculate Conception, I just always like to make sure we know what we're talking about when we come, especially since the gospel we just heard may confuse us even more. You see, the Immaculate Conception is not about the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. That would be a very short gestation period between December 8th and December 25th. Something's wrong with that. Rather, what happens 9 months from today, September 8th, is Mary's birthday. So that means that today we celebrate, rather, the conception of Mary in the natural means in the womb of her mother, St. Anne. And this conception then is celebrated because it is an immaculate conception. Now, trying to explain to some of the teenagers what this exactly means is a little difficult because they're not used to the word immaculate conception. So I says, if your mother said that your room was immaculate, what would it mean other than the fact that she's lying? Well, it would mean that it was really clean. That's right. Spotless, without spot. That it is clean, and this is Mary, without sin, from the first moment of her existence. That she was even free from the bonds of original sin which plague all of us. That she was, from the first moment, made perfect, because not of her own accord, but because of what Jesus was going to do, so that she could be a light in this very dark world, which could then draw Almighty God, like a moth to the flame, draw Almighty God into our humanity. He created Mary clean in order to draw himself close to us. So, as it turns out, the gospel that we heard is very much applicable here. Because the gospel we hear as Mary says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word," is the fruition, the fullness of the fruit of Mary's Immaculate Conception. That she would say a complete and total yes to Almighty God. St. Maximilian Kolbe, who is one of my favorite saints, who was my confirmation saint and still has taught me even well past my confirmation. St. Maximilian Kolbe put it this way, for holiness, sanctity, it's as simple as an algebra problem. Big W plus little w equals big S. When God's will is united, or rather when our will is united to God's will, then we are holy. And with Mary, her will was always given over to our Lord. She always said yes to him. Never did she, like so often we do, never did she say no to Almighty God. And so, as mother, as immaculate, as queen, she can draw us to the very heart of Almighty God. Beautiful. Now, I was pondering the other day as I was driving, I don't even remember where I was driving, but it was dusk, and I saw the moon on the horizon. You ever see that? Looks huge. Gets up higher, it's like, how did the moon get so small? And when it was on the horizon, it was like huge. Now it's just like, oh, a little baby thing. And of course, we know the moon doesn't physically change size. It didn't, in that period of time, get that much closer or further from the Earth. What happened? Well, it was just an illusion. But in any case, Someone who knows more about this stuff, you can tell me about it. But it was this huge on the horizon as I'm driving towards it. Not that I was actually physically driving toward the moon, that would mean going up, but you know what I'm saying. As I was driving there, I started to ponder. So often Mary is compared to the moon. Mary is compared to the moon. Why? Well, because the light she reflects is not her own. The light of Mary is the light of Christ. The light of the moon is not its own, it's a reflection of the sun. But it's always pointing to the sun. Now, there are times, whether it's in the middle of the day or when it's at a new moon, when we can't see the moon. But the moon is always there. I don't know if you ever sang this song. When I was growing up, it was one of the many songs that my parents would sing to me. I see the moon and the moon sees me. God bless the stars, the sky, and the sea. God bless the light that shines on me, shines on the one I love. And then we'd go into, oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden. Anyways, forget it. But that, in a similar way, Mary sees us. And there are times in our lives we can see her movement clearly. We can see her maternal mediation, her reaching out and taking care of us. We can see her and feel her in a way, wrapping her arms around us and drawing us close to her, drawing us close to Christ. But then there are times it seems like she's not there. Seems that she's distant. Seems that Mary is nowhere to be found. We cry out, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known. Never. Never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. And still we feel like we're left empty. But she's always there. She's always there. There's never a point when she abandons us. And in fact, like the moon, we are constantly affected. Think about this. If the moon just disappeared, the world would be in a chaos. Not just because, like, oh, the moon's not there anymore. I mean, it's what keeps us on a steady axis. The tides, we are affected in our bodies by the pull of the gravitational pull of the moon. It affects us. Anyone that's worked with little children or really old people know when a full moon comes, watch out. We are affected by the moon. And so while we might not be able to see Mary at all times, touching us, leading us, caring for us, at all times, she is praying for us, she is leading us, she is protecting us. I think about this beautiful story of the wedding at Cana. It's so amazing that they run out of wine. Jesus does his first miracle because Mary says they have no wine, and then she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And at the end of the story is the biggest joke. The bridegroom didn't even know any of this was going on. He didn't know that they'd run out of wine. The steward did, but the bridegroom didn't. And the steward goes to him and says, you save the best for last. What's with that? Usually you give the best stuff first. And you can, the story ends there, and you're almost like the bridegroom saying, what are you talking about? He didn't do any of those things. He didn't even know there was trouble. But what did he do? He did one right thing. He invited Mary and Jesus to the party. And when we invite Mary and Jesus in, they take care of so much without us even seeing, without us even knowing. We may even feel abandoned or distant, but they are always there. And so let us turn to our mother. Let us turn to Mama Mary and ask her to draw us into the heart of Christ, that even when we can't feel her or experience her presence, that we can trust that she is moving in our lives.